گنجینه صوتی تبیان تقدیم می کند.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. خدمت کاربران عزیز تبیان سلام و وقت بخیر عرض می کنم. به خاطر اعانت هایی که اخیراً در مجله فرانسوی به ساحت مقدس حضرت محمد صلوات الله و سلام علیه شد و مشابه این اتفاق هم چند سال پیش در کشورهای دیگر اروپایی رخ داده، در خدمت دکتر محمد رضا فخر روحانی هستیم. ایشون مترجم متون اسلامی به زبان انگلیسی هستند. آی دکتر، خدمتتون سلام و عرض ادب دارم و ابتداءً می‌خواستم که در مورد شخصیت فردی و اجتماعی حضرت محمد صلی الله علیه و آله و سلم صحبت بفرمایید.
آقای قاسمی، لطفاً صحبت‌های من و سوال‌هامو برای آقای دکتر ترجمه بفرمایید.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. Recently a French publication outlet has insulted on the prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him. And the same had happened some years ago in Denmark. So we'd like to have an interview with Dr. Mohammad Reza Fakhr Rouhani, professor of English linguistics and expert in translating Islamic heritage, on the issue of insulting the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So my first question is, what individual and social characteristics did the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, have?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bainastain. In the beginning, I should like to thank you for your coming here for this interview. Secondly, on the case of the personality and character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I should like to mention that the sublime character of the Prophet Muhammad is so high that in this regard only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Ali alayhi salam deserve to speak. Whatever we say shows only our own understanding of the character and career of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, I should like to mention that one of the graces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the whole mankind, the whole world, has been that he has sent to us the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the divine, as the last divine prophet. And as you know, it was around the year 610, according to Christian calendar, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in ancient Arabia. At the time that, according to the prevailing Jahiliyyah culture of ancient Arabia, doing all kinds of vices was just a fashion of the day. For example, entombing the girl babies was a kind of usual practice among some ancient Arabian tribes of the day. It was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who introduced those people to the main characteristics and criteria of humanity of the time. And that, more importantly, it was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who proved for others to be the most trustworthy personality of the day in the ancient Mecca. And hence the title Muhammad al-Amin, Muhammad the Trustworthy, was given to the Prophet Muhammad. And this happened before his prophethood. What's more important in this regard is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind to everybody. And he never did anything out of cruelty, even to his opponents. And those people who used to torture him, who used to insult him, after the victory of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad forgave all of them, and they received no penalty. What's more important in this regard is that the first verses of the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed unto the Prophet Muhammad starts with the notions of with such notions as reading and pen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min 'alaq, alladhi 'allama bil-qalam. We find that the concepts of reading, thinking, pen, and the whole creation of the mankind are amongst the basic notions of the first piece of revelation unto the Prophet Muhammad. And this shows that the religion of Islam was nothing but a religion of a fundamental and basic cultural movement in the whole world. Here I should like to mention that the religion of Islam, first and foremost, it was a new religion and the last divine religion whose foundation stone was on cultural notions and not on military expansion. And this is very much important in the sense that this cultural orientation and civilizational attitude of the religion of Islam can be found almost nowhere in the world. Okay, and here I should like to mention that this was at the beginning of a very fundamental cultural movement that the religion of Islam later on undertook in the whole world. We find that in the religion of Islam, next to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about Allah, thinking about the marvels of the whole world, and generally speaking, thinking has been highlighted in a great number of Quranic verses. Okay, because of this, we find that in the Holy Quran, the such phrase, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعَقِلُونَ, is very much repeated. Okay, so that you may think, so that you may ponder, so that you may reflect. Okay, in what kind of religion or in which religion can you find such a stress on thinking and on reflection, on, I mean, expanding one's intellectual capacity? So this shows that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the first and the most important and the prime practitioner of all these religious and God-given injunctions and teachings. Because there must be some kind of matching between this message and the personality who bears this message. Okay? Certainly the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best practitioner of all the teachings of the Holy Quran. And in this regard, I should like to mention that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best example of the divine mercy upon the whole mankind.
سوالی که داشتم این هست از محضرتون که بفرمایید که نقشی که حضرت محمد صلوات الله و سلام علیه در تمدن سازی در تاریخ بشریت داشتن چی بوده و آیا پیامبران قبل از ایشون توانستند همچین تحولی به لحاظ فرهنگی و به لحاظ تمدنی به وجود بیارند یا خیر؟
What role Islam has played in making a significant cultural change?
Yes. Regarding the significant and fundamental change that Islam has played in improving world culture is that, first and foremost, as mentioned earlier, in the dark ages of Jahiliyyah, I mean, and Jahiliyyah means the dark age of ignorance in pre-Islamic Arabia, and for those people who knew nothing but drinking wine and taking swords and waging wars and, well, attacking other tribes, it was the religion of Islam, and on top of the religion of Islam, the personality and character of the Prophet Muhammad, who introduced those pagan Arabs to learning, culture, thinking, reading, writing, scholarship, and note-taking, and making teachers and students. Okay, in what other community can you find such a significant change? Okay, you find that those people who were reluctant to accept people from other communities as human beings, the same community under the teachings of the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, they came to make teachers of Quran recitations in the best way. And they came to act as the scribes of the Holy Quran, the scribes of Revelation, Kutab al-Wahy. Okay? Now you find that it was the cultural attitude of Islam that made Islam appear on top of all other rival cultures and civilizations of the day. Okay? And this is very important in the sense that we find that within a short period of time, within around, for example, 150 years after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad, we find that the greatest university of the day in the whole world was shaped in Medina under the direction and tutelage of the two infallible Imams, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Okay, this shows that this indicates that it was under the effect of the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad that those people, after passage of time, around, for example, 150 years, okay, they came to make the greatest university in a place that wasn't introduced to any kind of learning and scholarship. Okay, if such a great academy was shaped, for example, in ancient Alexandria or in ancient Greek culture, well, it was expected to be of no wonder, because the Greek culture with its cultural marvels used to be over there. However, such a great academy was shaped where? In Hejaz, in Medina. Okay, and this is strange. Okay, you find that it was in effect of this significant cultural upheaval and change that Muslim communities started translating works of other civilizations into Arabic, and later on they translated their own works into other languages. Okay, the great translation movement took place in the world of Islam. And it was in effect of, and as a kind of, I mean, adopting the model of Bayt al-Hikmah in Baghdad, okay, in medieval Islamic period, that the same model was implemented later on in Europe. And a couple of years ago, personally, I read in a German magazine that a German university expressed its hope to build a place like, to some extent, like the Bayt al-Hikmah in Germany. I mean, a place to be formed, okay, for attracting translators from here and there in the world, okay. What was the role model? The role model was Bayt al-Hikmah. And Bayt al-Hikmah was a place, a cultural, I mean, translation university, not college, but a translation university that was shaped within the whole Islamic land and Muslim culture. So this belongs to the world of Islam. We find that scholars from all other countries, all other regions of the world, regardless of the religion or ethnic, affinity, they migrated to ancient Arabia in order to benefit from the teachings of the Ahl al-Bayt. And amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, you find that there were some companions who were non-Arabs, but they were attracted to the personality of the Prophet Muhammad. The same is true regarding other infallible Imams, Imam Ali alayhi salam. And in this regard, I should like to mention that one of the best manifestations of the cultural role of the Islamic religion was the grammatical and literary movement initiated by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And in this regard, I should like to mention that the fundamental definitions of the linguistic classification of words in the Arabic language goes back to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this is a great honor. It shows that our infallible Imams who succeeded the Prophet Muhammad, they were not merely concerned with religious issues, they were also concerned with other cultural issues, such as, for example, making the basic building block of a great linguistic movement in the whole world. Okay, so I think the cultural aspects of the Islamic religion must still be focused, and you find that in a great number of European universities and American universities, scholars are still at work on deciphering Muslim works and, I mean, adopting their models, for example, taking their models and developing them, for example, in mathematics, in medicine, in, for example, in philosophy, in logic, in other branches of knowledge. So in this regard, I think, I believe that all these marvels in the Islamic heritage all of them go back to the personality and character and career of the Prophet Muhammad and the basic teachings of the Holy Quran.
آی دکتر، با توجه به صحبت‌های شما و همچنین این مطلب که حضرت محمد صلوات الله و سلام علیه فرمودند هر مسلمانی به پیامبران الهی جسارت و توهین کند مسلمان نیست، از طرف دیگه در قرآن کریم هم انبیاء الهی مورد تایید قرار گرفتند و حتی در سوره های قرآن کریم آیات زیادی در مورد حضرت موسی، حضرت داوود، حضرت عیسی، حضرت مریم مقدس هست. به نظر شما انگیزه یک عده کم سواد شیطان صفت در جسارت به شخصیت حضرت محمد صلوات الله و سلام علیه چه چیز می تواند باشد؟
So as you know that the Holy Quran honored all the prophets like Jesus Christ and Moses, Solomon, David, and all the Muslims should believe in them. Why do some people in Europe insult him and try to present a negative image of him?
Yes. In order to answer your question, I should like to approach it the other way. Suppose that in a school, a lazy student abuses, for example, Albert Einstein or Isaac Newton. Okay, what do you expect his teachers, to think about this student, to think about him or her? We think that such a person, such a fellow must be a lazy student who can't make any improvement in his lessons, and instead of, working hard and being attentive to his lessons, this student finds no way but to insult, for example, Isaac Newton or Albert Einstein as top thinkers in physics, okay? Or, for example, if someone abuses such a personality like, for example, a great biologist or a great chemist, okay, what do you expect to find about him? Such a person who abuses such a great thinker must be none but an idiot, okay? Those people who insulted the divine prophets are none but idiots. They can't be regarded as sane people. Okay, let alone intellectuals. Okay, because the one of the criteria of being an intellectual is being serious regarding those people who introduced great changes in the whole human civilization in the whole world. Okay, and certainly the Prophet of Islam was one such great figures. And this is the minimum of thinking about the Prophet of Islam, and that's why we Muslims don't insult other prophets, because we appreciate and we are grateful to all other prophets. All of them were divine prophets. Okay. All of them were sent by the by God. So insulting the messenger of God is like insulting God himself. Okay. So since you expect nobody to insult God, in the same way you expect nobody to insult any of the divine prophets, because they were dispatched by God. No sane person does this.
از وقتی که به ما دادید و در این گفتگو شرکت کردید خیلی ممنونیم و از طرف همه کاربران از شما تشکر میکنم.
Okay, thank you very much for accepting our invitation, and thank you for your great statements on this important issue.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.